Isaiah chapter 43. And God says this right away. Or Isaiah writes in verse 1 of chapter 43 of Isaiah, "But now thus saith the Lord that created thee." You know, right away, when you think about creation, the world doesn't believe that. If they did ever, they don't now. And they think that the galaxies and the things that are out there have been there for billions of years. And you may have noticed how the more they find out about how technical it is, the longer they keep increasing the time. You notice that? That was just 4 billion years ago. Now they're saying, oh my goodness, no way. No, it's too technical for that. Maybe 20 billion. Oh my goodness, no, it is too complicated for that. Maybe 50 to 100 billion. Probably more, because the more science learns, they got to keep stretching the time out. But God's Word says, and if you have trouble with the first 4 words of the Bible, you will have trouble with the rest of the Bible. In the beginning, God. There He was. Nothing else but God. He created the heavens and the earth. That's what He did. And here in Isaiah, thus saith the Lord that created you. He is claiming, Isaiah is speaking on behalf of the Lord, that God created you. It's true. He created us. O Jacob, and He that formed thee, O Israel. Now, even though He's speaking to Israel, and a lot of this goes with Israel, you can see a spiritual parallel, and you can apply this to our lives today. So don't misunderstand. Now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and He that formed thee, O Israel, fear not. How many times has the Bible said specifically to individuals, don't be afraid? Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called you by your name. You are mine. Yes, He's speaking of Israel. Yes, He still loves that nation. Yes, they are His chosen. They are the elect. Yet, so is anyone, the Bible teaches, who calls upon His name. So we can even apply this to our lives. He says, I created you. Don't be afraid, for I have redeemed you. To be redeemed, the word means to purchase out of slavery, out of bondage and slavery. I have redeemed you. And the word is, and maybe you're familiar with it if you've studied some of your other Old Testament scriptures, the word is goel. It means, to us, it means kinsman redeemer. Do you remember the book of Ruth? And you studied about a goel, a kinsman redeemer. It had to be one related to you. And he had to be willing to purchase you out from under slavery. And Boaz, he saw Ruth, and he was willing to purchase. Of course, he got Naomi in the deal. And he was a type of who, everybody? Jesus, that's right. Jesus is our goel. He is our kinsman redeemer. He is God in human flesh. Yet, He became a human being, a man. It was a miracle. A virgin birth. God says that'll be a sign to you. A virgin shall give birth, shall bring forth a son. So call His name Emmanuel, meaning God with us. Jesus Christ, completely God and completely human. He is a kinsman redeemer. He redeemed us. He bought us, purchased us out of slavery. What were we slaves to? Sin. So you guys don't need me. You know this. We were slaves to sin. Isaiah 53:6, the whole cult class knows it, don't they? Say yes. All right. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him, Jesus Christ, the iniquity of us all. He paid the price. He purchased us out of slavery. If you want Jesus, you turn and you come to Jesus. The price has been paid. And we read, "Don't be afraid, for I have redeemed you." Are you born again? Have you asked Jesus Christ into your life? If you have, you are born again. You have been redeemed. You have been purchased out from under bondage, out from slavery. You're free now to walk with Jesus Christ. But the world, sin, the corruption, the trouble all around you, it seeks to hold you back and to hold you down. Now, some of you are right in the middle of a situation to where you need to make a choice. And it's got to be based on faith, not on how you feel and not on how it looks and not on how everything is going around you. You are going to have to, by faith, say, "He sought me and He bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is due Him. He plunged me to victory beneath a cleansing flood." Sing it with me. You're going to have to just walk in faith, knowing Jesus Christ paid the price. It may be a difficult, tight spot you're in now. But He says, "Don't be afraid. I have redeemed you." Your kinsman, Goel, kinsman redeemer. He became a man that He might live a sinless life, that He might walk straight to Calvary to be crucified on that cross. It was not quite 6 months before He was crucified as He was walking down toward Jerusalem. His disciples said to Him, "Master, lately, the last few times we've been down there, they tried to kill you. We can't go down there now. We can't go." And they tried to talk Him out of going to the city of Jerusalem. Remember? But He had set His face so that they couldn't turn Him back. You'll read in the Old Testament, "I have set my face like a flint." And the Bible says, the New Testament reads in the Gospels, they could see in His face that there was no talking Him out of this. So they gave up. Jesus came to this earth to die. He didn't come to live. He didn't come to be comfortable. He didn't come to get a nice place. He came to die for you and for me. And now He says, "Don't be afraid, for I have redeemed you." It is done. And He yelled it from the cross, "Tetelestai," paid in full. It is finished. It's done. There is nothing more you need to do. When someone says, "What must I do to be saved?" You look at them and say, just like Jesus, "Believe on Him whom He has sent." Believe on Messiah. That's all you need to do to be saved. "Well, shouldn't I clean up my act?" Man, you can't clean up your own act. Haven't you caught on yet? You got a lousy act. Nothing personal. If you'd rather, "I can't clean up my act. I have a lousy act." You feel better then? We can't do it. Jesus Christ, He paid the price. And He says, "I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name." He redeemed you. You know, let's write this down if you're taking notes. Galatians 3, verses 13 and 14. Christ, Messiah, has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. He became the curse for us. For it is written, "Cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree." See, they nailed Him to that wood, to that cross. "That the blessing, of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." Christ has redeemed us. Revelation 5:9. "And they sang a new song." It's kind of a new song. You can learn it now, so when you get in heaven, Revelation chapter 5, you'll be singing with them. "Thou art worthy to take the book." They're singing to Jesus Christ, the Messiah. "To take the book and to open the seals thereof. For you were slain, and you have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every kindred, tongue, and people and nation." From all over the world, people will be in heaven singing, "You are worthy to open the seal. You have redeemed us by your blood." Isaiah 43, verse 1 says, "Now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and He that formed thee, O Israel, do not be afraid, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. called you by your name. You know, do you remember that? When he had risen from the dead, Mary was weeping. And she didn't know what happened to Jesus. Remember, they didn't expect him to be alive. They expected him to still be dead. That's why they came to the tomb with the spices. They were going to anoint the dead body. They loved him, but they didn't believe him. They didn't understand. So they came to the tomb early in the morning. You remember that. Resurrection Sunday morning. There they come, and they're going to anoint the body. But the stone's rolled away. They saw these angels. You know the whole story. But Mary stays. Or comes back is what she does. And she's crying. And Jesus shows up kind of standing off to the side of her or behind her there in John chapter 20 verses 15 and 16. Jesus said unto her, woman. Now that is not a slam the way some people think it. Woman, what's wrong with you? Woman, Coke, bring me my channel changer. One. No. That's an enduring term. It's a term he also used to talk to his mother. It's like saying, ma'am. And he says, woman, why are you crying? Who do you seek? Now she, Mary, remember, she supposed that he was the gardener. Why? Well, maybe logically, who else would be there that early? She didn't expect it to be Jesus. And who would be around the garden? I mean, who would be there? So she figures it's the gardener. So she says to him, sir, if you have carried him away, Jesus, if you've carried Jesus away, tell me where you put him and I will take him away. She's thinking, I'm going to carry this dead body myself. She's so upset that he's gone. You tell me where he is and I will carry him away personally. And Jesus said unto her in verse 16, one word. He says her name. Notice, he says, Mary. And she turned herself and she said to him, Rabboni, Master. Which is to say Master. She knew him when he called her by her name. Now go back to Isaiah. Don't be afraid. I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. And every one of you that has been called by your name, you know Jesus. Maybe not well. Maybe there's still a lot you've got to learn. Maybe all kinds of things or questions in your mind. Maybe you're brand new at this and you say, I read my Bible. I'm not sure I know much about it. I'm not understanding anything. But when Jesus calls your name, you know it's Jesus. She recognized her master instantly. And all he did was just say her name, Mary. Okay, and he says, I called you by your name. You are mine. Again, I bring up the fact that we are bought with a price. I belong to him. Now, of course, you can read in Song of Solomon, it is true. I am my beloved's and he is mine. Yes, that's true. But you see, I have to take on the right attitude, the right heart. I have to have an understanding. I belong to him. He came looking for me and he bought me. I belong to him. It is no more, how do you feel about this, Bob? It is no more, what do you want to do when you grow up? I used to want to be a cowboy hat. Now I've changed my whole life around. Now I just want to serve God. It is not anymore, what do you want to do? You know, people say to me, what are you going to do when you finally grow up? I say, whatever God says, if I ever grow up. Whatever he wants. I belong to him. I am his now. I am not here for my personal enjoyment. I am not here anymore to collect and to get and to make a name for myself. That's no more. I am here now to do what he says to do. And how many of us are guilty of going, I am tired. I am sick and tired. I am worn. I have changed my mind and I want this and I want that and I want to be happy and I want to... Stop your whining. And read your Bible. He says, don't be afraid. I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. I will take care of you. But if I'm his, I need to learn to listen to him. I need to learn to pay attention to him. I need to learn that he is not going to do anything in my life that's bad. I need to just rest in Him. Begin to trust Him. Yeah, but everything is falling apart. Well, that's His problem, isn't it? I am not called to be correct. I'm called to be committed. I'm not called to succeed. I'm called to serve. It is Him, He, who will take care of it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths or make them straight. He will do it. You don't have the job of doing it yourself. You have the easiest job on the earth, to follow the shepherd. It's so hard to be Christian. It's easy to be Christian. Walk. Just go. Where are we going to eat today, Lord? That's what they asked Him. Well, where are we headed now? We're going to Lazarus's. He's asleep. Oh, good. Then that means he's doing better. No. See, no, Thomas, what that means is he's dead. Oh, bummer. And we're going there. Where are we going now? We're heading to Jerusalem. Lord, I don't think, you know, they're trying to kill you when we were down there. But Bob, that's where we're going. All right, I'm with you. Far be it from me. You tell me to shut up, I just shut right up. I never make another word. You say shut up, I do it. I just don't talk. And then God's going, Bob. We follow Jesus. But how many of us, don't raise your hand, are guilty of making it so complicated? Because it's not going our way, is it? You don't have to tell me, yes, I know. I don't even have to know who you are. It's not going your way. Not if you belong to God. Because we're going to sing a little later on, Refiner's Fire. See, the refiner takes you, that silver and that gold, and puts you in a fire, in this little holding thing. And the fire melts you down, and it is hot. And the dross, or the ugliness, or the stuff that's impure, it comes to the surface, and he takes something and he scrapes it off. It's called dross when you're working with silver and gold. And you scrape it all off, and you continue to scrape it until all the impurities are gone. How long does he leave you in the fire? Well, we learn he leaves you in the fire until he can see his perfect reflection in you. Once he looks at that gold and his perfect reflection is there clearly, okay, you can come out of the fire now. How you looking? Yeah, I got some little heat to go, don't we? He knows. He's not going to leave you 1 second longer. He doesn't want to ruin you. He knows just what he's doing. He says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. Peter walked on water. Not many. You could laugh at him if you want. Not very many steps. Ha ha. But he could get back in the boat and look at John and go, I walked in the water and you didn't. Laugh at me for sinking. All the rest of his life he could go, man, I didn't walk far, but with Jesus Christ, I walked on water. Can you imagine? What a thrill. Then he started sinking. He yelled, save me, Lord. That's a smart man. I'll be with you. When you go through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon you. Walking with him, you'll go right through these fires, these trials, and it looks like it ought to consume you and destroy you completely, and it doesn't. And everybody is shocked because you didn't burn up. You weren't crushed. You weren't destroyed. And he said, when you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. And when you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon you. Why? Verse 3 says, for I am the Lord thy God. He says, I will be with you. And these things won't bother you. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. Notice he said it again. I'm your Redeemer. I'm your Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Sheba for you. Since you were precious in my sight, you have been honorable, and I have loved you. Therefore, I will give men for you and people for your life. Notice God's talking about Israel, but yet spiritually you also become included in these promises we see here. And you are, yes, they are precious in His sight. Even the Jewish people today are precious. No, He's not finished with them. Yes, there is still a plan, a program. Yet you take a look at you who have called upon His name. And He says, I have redeemed you. I am your God. I am with you. You are precious to Him. Now you're walking around like He likes everybody else better than you. I saw somebody had a bumper sticker and it said, if God had a refrigerator, He'd have your picture on it. He wouldn't have my picture on it. He'd have the little things I drew. Because I can't draw. You are special to the Lord. But if you won't accept that, then you're going to run off and you're going to be afraid when He said, don't be afraid. You're going to rebel because you're not going to really be trusting Him. Yet He says you're special to Him. You are precious in my sight. You have been honorable and I have loved you. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. So again, He tells you and me, don't be afraid. I am with you. Now, wait a minute. You're right in the middle of the ugliest trial in your life, maybe. And He says, don't be afraid. I'm with you. Come on, be honest. Of all that you could have with you going through this, who would you pick? Man, the things I go through, you gave me a choice of who to pick. God every time. I want God in there. Well, you got some really wise counsel. I want God. And Moses said, Lord, if you ain't going with us, paraphrased. He was from southern Israel. If you are not going to go with us, then we don't want to go. Let us just die right here. We don't want to take another step. Have you said it yet? Lord, you said you'd be with me. And so wherever I go, I want you to be with me. Okay, well, then that means I am with you, and that then He is going to be there. Matthew chapter 28, verse 20. Jesus was teaching them, when He had risen from the dead, and He's sending them out now, go and make disciples of all men. In chapter 28, verse 20, He says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, or look, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. I am with you always. That's a promise to all that belong to Him, not just those 12. Not just those disciples that are right there at that moment. That's a promise to all of us. I am with you always. Whatever you go through, I'm there. You in deep water, I'll make sure it doesn't drown you. You're walking through the fire, I'll make sure it doesn't burn you up. I will be sure. You will stand there on that day. You will be standing as one of His on the day that's coming. And by the way, He's coming soon. He says, I am the Lord. Oh, wait. Let me read Hebrews 13:5. Is that one I want? Yes. Let your lifestyle be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For He hath said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Now, how long is never? Till the next time you blow it. Right? No, how long is never? Never. That's right. He will always be with you. You're not alone in this. You can choose to act like it. But the truth is, you got to walk in faith. He said He would never leave me. He's right here with me. But it doesn't feel like it. Now your feelings are going to change. Someone's going to send you a card and you're going to, isn't that nice? Now your feelings are different than they were a few minutes ago. Someone's going to pull you over and offer you a ticket for speeding, and then your feelings are going to change. Someone's going to say thing that you they're going to say something that you feel like just shouldn't have been said, or why did they have to say it with that tone, or who do they think? And your feelings are going to change again. But all the way through, He is with you always, never to leave you, never to forsake you. And He says, I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel. You know, He says in the King James Version of the Bible, God says, I am the Lord thy God, 304 times throughout the entire Bible. When you study hermeneutics, the study of interpretation, when God says a thing once or once is important, twice, man, you can't take your eyes off it. He says it 304 times. I am the Lord thy God. What more do you want? I don't know, maybe a new car. Really, with your heart, what more could you possibly want? I am the Lord your God. What more could you possibly want? We got it all. If He is our God, then what do you know about Him? I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I will make sure that you come out all right. I will strengthen you. I will hold you up with my righteous right hand. I will take care of your enemies for you. I will see to it that everything that happens to you works out for your good and for my glory. You can't lose. That's why Christians are so free to go ahead and become missionaries, to go ahead and share at work, share where they walk around town, because they are free. They have been set free. When the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. Nothing holds you down. Now, the devil doesn't like that. So he's looking for ways to steal the peace that you should have, the joy that should be in there. Sometimes he'll do it by your health falling apart on you. Now, you knew you were going to live forever, but something went wrong and your health is no good. Where's God? Gee whiz. He's right there. And if you will allow Him to, He will walk through this and will be building you and strengthening you. And you know Romans 8:28 still counts. All things work together for good to those who love the Lord, to those who are called according to His purpose. Every one of us can quote it, but then when we're in deep, dark depression, when we're in hurt, when we're in confusion, when we're in doubt, we forget all the verses we know. Where's God? I'm tired of Him. He makes me sick. Literally. Where is He? I thought He loved me. If He loved me, my feet wouldn't hurt. If He loved me, I wouldn't have lost that job. If He loved me, I wouldn't have... No. Stop. Breathe deep. And think. God says at the beginning of Isaiah, He says, come, let us reason together. Let's think about it. Think about what you know about the Lord. Think about Psalm 103, which says, remember all His benefits. Think about all He has done for you for the last 30 years, or 40, or 12, or 50, or however you can think over. And then relax for a moment and remember, He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And He does love you. The Holy One of Israel, He calls Himself. Acts chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. The God of Abraham and of Isaac, Peter is speaking, and the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified His Son Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied Him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let Him go. But you denied, notice, the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you. Peter says, when God says, I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One, Peter just told you who the Holy One was. Jesus Christ. So you notice when God says, I am the Lord thy God, He is saying, I am God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. I am with you. He also says, I'm the Savior. 2 Samuel 22. Just giving you some scriptures to think about and go back and read when you get a chance. 2 Samuel 22, 1 through 4. David spoke to the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. David said this, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. The God of my rock, in Him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation. He's my high tower and my refuge, my Savior. You save me from violence. I will call on the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. Notice, I'm the Lord your God, the Holy One. I am your Savior. David recognizes God as all those. He's my Savior. And then Hosea 13:4. Yet I am the Lord thy God from the land of Egypt. you shall know no God but me, for there is no Savior beside me. If you're looking anywhere else, to anything else, it's not going to happen. There is no salvation beside God. Philippians 3:20. Our lifestyle is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 John 4:14. We have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. And then, of course, the one you know probably the best, John 14:6, where Jesus says to the disciples says, show us the way. We don't know the way. And Jesus answered and said, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I read to you a bunch of different verses, Old Testament and New, to show you the Savior of the world is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the second person of the Trinity, God the Son. God says, fear not, for I am with you. I'm the Holy One. I'm the Lord thy God. I'm the Holy One. I am your Savior. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So don't be afraid. And then he says this, he promises to gather the Jewish people back together. I will say to the north, verse 5, I don't want to skip that. Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your seed from the east, let's start with the east, and them from the west. And I will say to the north, give up. And I will say to the south, keep not back. So he's going to call the people from the north, south, and east, and the west. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth. He's going to gather his people back together. We're seeing part of it now, but you'll see the main gathering coming up in the future, along with a lot of trouble. Everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory, I have formed him, yea, I have made him. Notice that we're supposed to be understanding he's in control, he is good, he cares about you, he loves you, everything he's working for is for your own good. He's got a plan, there's a purpose. None of this is a waste of your time. Bring forth, he says in verse 8, the blind people that have eyes and the deaf that have ears. Bring them forth. Let all the nations be gathered together and let the people be assembled. He's calling kind of another courtroom type scene. Get everybody together in one place. Who among them can declare this, he says, and show former things? Is there anybody who can tell us things that are outside of their domain? In other words, can you tell us the future? Can you tell us how God created everything? Can you explain it to us? Of course, he says, let them bring forth their witnesses that they may be justified, or let them hear and say it is truth. He says, bring them together. I'll show you I'm God. You show me that you are, if you think you are. All the false gods that are worshipped today in the world. You are my witnesses, saith the Lord, speaking of Israel. And also, Jesus says that you are his witnesses as well, those that belong to Jesus. And my servant, whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. God is saying there are all false gods are nothing. Nothing before me. There will be nothing coming up. There is no false god that makes God worry today. People say that religion's really growing. It's really God's not worried at all. There's still a call to every individual. Come back. Turn to the living God. Come back. Come to me, all you that labor, heavy laden, I'll give you rest. You come back. He says, those gods are nothing. I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. Remember, Jesus Christ said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No man come to the Father but by me. Jesus is the only way. People don't want to hear it, but the truth is that's exactly what God says about himself. He says, I am the Lord, verse 11, and beside me there is no Savior. And 163 times through the King James Bible, God says, I am the Lord. 163 times he tells us that. wonder how many times he has to tell us before we really start to act like it and begin that it sticks in our hearts. He says, I have declared and I have saved and I have shown when there was no strange God among you. Therefore, you are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. I've told you the future. I've shown you things that others didn't know. Right now, those of you who read your Bible, you already know what's coming. And the world would just laugh at you. But you already know that there is an Antichrist. There is a person coming who will come up with a false peace when the first seal is opened, the book of Revelation. You know what's coming. God has told you the future. You can bank on that. You can believe it's true. It's going to be just like he says. Revelation chapter 13, a one world system, a one world economy, and a one world religion. They'll be there. They may not last long. The kings from the east may get frustrated and attack, but for a time, it will be a whole world system, according to Revelation 13. He says, yea, verse 13, before the day was, I am he. See, he was around before he even created day. And there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall stop it? King James says, who shall let it? That means who shall stop it up or hinder is what the word means. That's, I like that about God. He says, before the day was, I am he. And there is none that can deliver out of my hand. There is none that can make things go differently than what God wants. There is no one, nothing out there that big. And he also says, I will work, and who shall hinder it? When God is doing a work, there is nothing that can stop the work of God. And believe me, I see people trying it regularly. But you cannot shut down the work of God. It can't be done. When the church is persecuted and Satan tries to crush it with his thumb, he smashes it, and then there are two, and then there are three. And now the church has spread all over the world. You can't shut it down because you can't bomb it and there it's gone away. It's in the hearts of people all over the world, and the responsibility is to continue to share. When God is doing a work, nothing can stop the work. So don't panic. He says, don't be afraid. Thus saith the Lord, your Redeemer, he reminds us again, the Holy One of Israel, for your sake I have sent to Babylon, and I have brought down all their nobles and the Chaldeans whose cry is in the ships. And he says it again, I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus saith the Lord, which makes a way in the sea and a path in the mighty waters, which brings forth the chariot and the horse, the army and the power. They shall lie down together. They shall not rise. They are extinct. They are quenched as tow. What he's telling you is, I bring the armies in. You, the armies may think this, NATO may think they're really in control of their peacekeepers. But God's saying, no, I am working. It is me causing this. He brought in Cyrus and he destroyed Babylon. He brought in Babylon and took his people into captivity. God is doing all this. When you see around the world now, God is allowing and working. And I've heard people say, Christians are going to get together. We're going to elect a Christian president and we're going to make the whole world Christian. Hold your breath. Because God's word says that the love of many is going to grow cold. Evil will grow worse and worse. And you can take that to the bank. You can count on it. Well, then we shouldn't do it. No, we should still live and work and serve and just keep busy preaching the gospel and telling others until Jesus Christ comes back. But understand that you're not going to see billions turn to the Lord. You're going to see more and more turning away. That's exactly what Scripture says. And somebody says, we're fighting a losing battle. No, you got to go and read the end again. Because we win. As a matter of fact, go back to the cross and you'll see the victories there. But you still got to keep playing in the game. You still got to keep your eyes on the prize. You still got to keep running for that finish line. Don't let anything slow you down. He says, don't you remember the verse 18, the former things? Neither consider the things of old. Behold, I'll do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. God's going to do a new thing. He says, I'll take care of it. The beasts of the field shall honor me, the dragons and the owls, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. Remember, Israel was supposed to be a witness to the rest of the world. 43:10 says, you're my witnesses. You're supposed to show people what I'm all about, what I'm like. So are we, Jesus says. You are my witnesses. Go into the whole world. We're to show people what Jesus acts like. We're to show people how Jesus talks, how he thinks, how he walks. We're to show people what God is like. And look at our Christian lives. The reports just came out this past week. More divorces are taking place in the church than in the secular world now. We have finally surpassed percentage-wise. And we're the ones who represent the kingdom of God. And we're falling apart. And I think it's because we're afraid he doesn't love us anymore. Because things are happening to us. We don't understand what's going on. We turn and we run. Instead of clinging to him tighter, we panic and we leave the Lord our God. And we rebel and we start to walk in our own ways. And God says, don't do that. You're afraid. You're turning the wrong way. Don't be afraid. I would never leave you. You're precious to me. I love you. Hang in there. I'll take care of it. He says, this people I have formed for myself, that they will show forth my praise. But thou hast not called upon me, O Jacob. Thou hast been weary of me, O Israel. They're tired of calling on the Lord. How many of you have said that recently? I've been praying. Nothing's happening. I'm getting tired of asking God. Well, pray about it. Oh, man, I've been praying for months now. Well, pray longer. Don't grow weary in crying out to God. Call unto the Lord, he says. You have not brought me the small cattle out of your burnt offerings. Now he's going to get on the people because they're not bringing to him. They're not offering to him of themselves, of their time, of their money, of their talents, of their stuff. You have not brought me the small cattle of thy burnt offerings. Neither hast thou honored me with thy sacrifices. I have not caused thee to serve with an offering, nor wearied thee with incense. You're supposed to be giving because you love me. I love you, and I'm taking care of you. But the people were starting to ignore God. You hast brought me no sweet cane with money. Neither hath you filled me with the fat of thy sacrifices, but you have made me to serve with thy sins. Thou hast wearied me with thy iniquities. You are not serving God. You are serving yourselves, he's saying. Does that sound a little bit like where we're at? And then God says something in verse 25. I, even I, am he that blots out your transgressions. I do it for my own sake. And I will not remember your sins. God just told you, once you come to Jesus and your sins are forgiven, they are blotted out, they're erased for all time and eternity, and he will not remember them. Your problem is you can't forget them. And once you do forget and you're starting to get up over it, then Satan comes along and says, hey, remember what you did last week, loser? You call yourself a Christian and you talk that way. You treated so-and-so that way. You acted that way. You did that. You. Hey, but you think he loves you? Right. He doesn't love you, man. He's sick of you. And you're starting to listen to the wrong voice. God says, I am he that blots out your sins, your transgressions. Isaiah 38:17 says, behold, for peace I had great bitterness. But you have, in love to my soul, delivered it from the pit of corruption. You have cast all my sins behind your back. God takes your sins, throws them over his shoulder, and promises, I will never turn around. They're completely gone if you're in Jesus Christ. Every bit of your sins are gone. You are now free to serve him. Don't let your past destroy today. Do not let your past destroy your future. That's a weak, worldly excuse. Yeah, but you see, the way I was raised, wait a minute. I used to tell God this because I'd lose my temper. What a temper. And God would say, now, what are you so angry at? And I'd say, God, I am so mad. Why? I don't know. But, you know, I get this temper from my dad. My dad got mad like that. My mother's Italian, man, she had a temper. I mean, she could explode. And that's where I get it. And God looked at me and he says, you're a liar. It's rude. I said, what are you talking about? He says, I'm your father. And I don't lose my temper like that. You're trying to let your past destroy today and destroy your future. And that's not what I want from you. You walk with me. You listen to me. You trust in me.
I am he that blots out your transgressions. Psalm 103, verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Now, if he said north from the south, we'd have had a problem. Because if you go north, if he removed our sins as far as the north is from the south, if you go north, you're going to hit a certain point on this earth that you're going to be going south, aren't you? That means you could run into your sins again. But as far as the east is from the west, if you go east and continue to go east, you will never be going west. You got it? As far as the east is from the west, I have removed your transgressions from you. Your sins, every one of you that's a Christian, you will never hear about them ever again. The Lord will never bring them up. You will never hear about it when you stand in his presence. They are gone. Jesus paid the price. You are squeaky clean in Jesus Christ right now. Your friends may not let you forget. Your husband, your wife, your kids. I mean, there are a lot of people who are gifted in helping you to remember. Love them. Be kind to them. Serve them. But remember, when the next time you say, I want to serve God, and then something inside says, you can't serve him. Remember a couple of years ago, remember you cheated. You did this. You can't serve him. I want you to know instantly that's the voice of the enemy. That is not the voice of God, the Holy Spirit. The voice of God, the Holy Spirit, was the one putting the desire in your heart to even serve in the first place. But the enemy wants to destroy any work you might accomplish for the kingdom. And he wants your whole life to be wood, hay, and stubble and burn up and smell like smoke when you get to heaven. Instead, God says, no. I am he that blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. Put me in remembrance. Now, all that means is, would you please remember me? Who said that? On the night that he was betrayed, take this bread, and as you do, remember me. And you wouldn't think that Jesus would have to tell us that. Take this cup, and when you do, remember me. You would think that you wouldn't need to be reminded to remember Jesus. But God says, would you please put me in remembrance? Would you remember me of all the troubles that you're in, all the things that you need, all the directions? Man, you're looking to be used by God. You're looking to be doing something that's going to last forever. You're looking to really get up over these trials. You're looking to get through there and wanted to bring glory to God. And God says, then why don't you remember me? Let us plead together. Declare thou that you may be justified. Thy first father has sinned, and thy teachers have transgressed against me. Therefore I have profaned the princes of the sanctuary, have given Jacob to the curse, and Israel to reproaches. Because you have turned your back on me. He says, your life is a mess. Israel's in trouble. And he's reminding them, all I want you to do is trust me. Is it always going to be perfect? Will it always be sunshiny? No, it'll snow. Trust me. I know. Will you always have the emotions that are riding high? And man, I'm just serving Jesus. And no, you won't always feel that way. Sometimes you're going to feel low, defeated, afraid, confused, brokenhearted, crushed. But you're never going to stop walking. He says, remember me. I love you. I'll never leave you. I'm right there. I am your Savior, your kinsman redeemer. I became a man to come down and to suffer for you, to pay the price. I love you. Follow me. Walk with me. Don't give up on the Lord. Start to remember him again. Let's bow our heads together. As we worship just a bit, turn your life back over to God. Some of you are in the midst of difficulties. And it may be at home, it may be work-related, it may be school, it may just be something in your own life, in your own heart, something within. But whatever it is, God right now says, remember me, I am your God, I'm with you, I am strong. I'm the one that can tell you the end from the beginning. I'm the one who knows. I was here before everything was created. No other thing that you might trust in has been here before me, and it's not going to be here after. God is the one you want to turn your life over to. He's the one you want to give your cares to, your troubles, your concerns, your life. Father, we pray as we worship you just for a moment or two, we pray that you would minister to our hearts, that you would strengthen the lives that you have brought here tonight. Many broken hearts, many confused, many afraid, many don't know which way to step next. Lord, we cry out to you. You said in the waters, even though they're deep, we won't be drowned in them. Even though the fires are hot, we won't be burned up. That's what you promised, Lord. We claim your promises and we look to you, Lord, as we worship you.